evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, September 1st, 2021. A bishop is charged with treason in South Sudan.
These charges are not genuine with reason that there are no substantial evidence, and two, they are not involved in inciting any public in regard to the section. It is the four.
And some senior state officials in Jonglei State increased their own salaries.
It is illegal, according to the constitutional rights of all the citizens of the Republic of South Sudan.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A South Sudanese political analyst says the failed August 30th protest organized by the People's Coalition for Civil Action will remain as a lesson for the government. Abraham Kwol, a professor of politics and economics at the University of Juba, says there is a need for the government of South Sudan to create a political space and give freedom of speech to people who are not happy with the government. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
Speaking exclusively to South Sudan in Focus, political analyst Abraham Kwol Nyuon, who is also a professor of political science at the University of Juba, says although the August 30th planned protest, organized by the People's Coalition for Civil Action, or PCCA, did not take place, the message delivered to the Kiir administration is loud and clear.
Any time from now onward, any dissenting voices within the government, any dissenting voice within the civil society, and dissenting voice within the Republic of South Sudan would be assumed an associate or a sympathizer of PCC. And as a result of this, it could really remove the spirit whereby some people were given choice to be able to speak their mind.
For the past 4 days, security forces have been stationed across various locations across the South Sudanese capital, Juba, and in other towns across the country. Members of the People's Coalition for Civil Action say the heavy police and security presence on the streets of Juba is scared of people from taking part in the planned protest on Monday. Kwol says it would be unwise for the government to use the failed protest as a way to suppress political expression in the country.
The government is supposed to open a civic space for the people of South Sudan to be able to express themselves. And the government at the same time need to be listening to the people's voice by trying to look at critical issues that the public has been crying for and respond to some of those things in the spirit of promoting what we call the social contract, where the government is accountable to their people and the people are also accountable to their government.
Some civil society activists say they already have been affected by the recent activities of the People's Coalition for Civil Action. David Garangoch, who heads the Jonglei Civil Society Network, says he has received several threats from unidentified people who told him to denounce the activities of the People's Coalition for Civil Action.
Most of the civil society activists were not involved when this exercise was initiated, but they were seen as a part of the exercise, which was not real. I was by then accused, a lot of accusation, registered on me that I have to write the condemnation letter, have to come out publicly and tell us what is going on.
Bol Dengbol, another South Sudanese civil society activist, says the government security apparatus is making lives difficult for members of the civil society organizations across the country following last week's call by the People's Coalition for Civil Action for people to protest against the government.
In Yei, the activists were being targeted in Wau, and then some other places. In Jonglei now, you see, civil society network is silent. And it's because of this, being told you're part of this. If you don't condemn it, then you are part of it. It's a very tough decision to make. As civil rights activists, we find it very, very, very strange. and the government is serious about it.
Last week, two civil society activists and a bishop of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church in Ye were arrested and are being charged for treason and gathering crowds with an intention of disrupting the peace. Deng says the political atmosphere in the country will not be the same for civil society organizations moving forward. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayar in Juba.
A bishop of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church and two activists who were arrested and detained by security operatives in Ye last week have been charged with treason. The bishop and two activists were expected to appear in court this week, but their lawyer says he doubts his clients will appear in court anytime soon. For VOA News, David Monodanga reports from Juba.
Security agents arrested Bishop Jackson Yemba and civil society activist Justason Victor and Robert Guya Antipas of the local NGO Yea Mora Wednesday night and Thursday morning. The three are being detained at a Yea military facility. Lawyer Victor Batale, who is representing all the three men, says public prosecutor Ladowani told him his clients are being charged with treason and gathering people with the intention of disturbing the peace under Sections 64 and 80 of South Sudan's Penal Code of 2008. Batali says the government has accused his clients of crimes they did not commit.
These charges are not genuine with reasons that there are no substantial evidence, and two, they are not involved in inciting any public in regard to the section 64. Therefore, Justusan completely innocent. First of all, there has never been a gathering. There has never been a meeting held to effect the demonstration. And so these are just claims.
On Tuesday, the families of Bishop Yemba, Justusan, and Robert Kuya said the three were engaged in a routine daily evening prayer devotion when they were arrested. Batali says it would be unfair if the public prosecutor uses that prayer to claim they were meeting to plan actions against the government.
Every evening they normally have prayers in the house. And so that prayer is not something that is organized. It's a kind of a Christian taboo where everybody, you ought to pray every evening before you sleep. So I don't think whether it's right for them to use that evening devotion as a reason of saying they were having a meeting against a government.
Media reports on Tuesday quoted Ye County Commissioner Agresiris Kanyikwa as saying the three men will appear in court today, but Batali says that information is false, noting the police have yet to begin their investigations. Batali says he is worried about his client's continued detention in a military facility.
Even if they have an offense, they need to be handed to the police for investigation. The military will only do investigation to military personnel and then they take to the military court martial. But these are civilians. Military cannot investigate. Military are supposed to report them to the police for further directives from public prosecutor. So until now, they are still under the supervision and the custody of military counterintelligence.
Batali says he does not know when the police will begin their investigations or when his clients will appear in court for trial. South Sudan in Focus contacted public prosecutor Ladowani to answer those questions, but Wani said he will not comment because he was traveling to Juba. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Bor, where civil servants in the Jonglei state capital are accusing members of the state executive of allegedly increasing their own salaries by 300% while ignoring complaints from civil servants who are asking for pay raise. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Civil servants accuse the Jonglei state executive, which includes Governor Dinei Jok Chagur, Deputy Governor Antipas Nyong Kucha, and state advisors and ministers, of increasing their salaries by 300% while doing nothing to help ordinary government workers. A source who spoke on condition of anonymity for fear of reprisals says the decision to increase salaries of the executive was passed during a Council of Ministers meeting 2 weeks ago. Before the increase, the governor's monthly salary was just over 160,000 South Sudanese pounds. The deputy governor hint just over 159,000 South Sudanese pounds. Advisors met a little over 150,000 South Sudanese pounds, and a minister hint about 150.5 South Sudanese pounds a month. The new governor's monthly salary is more than 480,000 South Sudanese pounds, the equivalent of about $1,200. The deputy governor will receive more than 477,000 South Sudanese pounds. Advisors will hint just over 450,000 SSP. Ministers will make just over 450,000 SSP, and the chairpersons of independent commissions will hint about 311,500 South Sudanese pounds a month. The salaries of the civil servants remain the same. Civil servant Maj Gabriel Grang from the Jonglei State Ministry of Education says the decision by the state executive to increase their own salaries is illegal. Garang says it is a clear sign that the state coffers are being looted by top officials.
It is illegal according to the constitutional rights of all the citizens of the Republic of South Sudan. Everyone should be actually included in form of inclusivity as far officials or those who are in the executive or maybe in the higher positions should not only increase their salaries, they should also increase the salaries of all civil servants in the state and even across the country. So I call it a kind of a dehumanization.
Civil servant Alir Kuot says Governor Chagur and other top state officials are discriminating against the rest of the Jonglei state citizens.
We were very optimistic when the president talked on 9th July, because they talked of 100% in increment. If someone has been paid 5,000, that means that person will be 10,000. Our state should not only increase the payment of senior officials, and they leave out the civil servants. The civil servants from director generals, from the other directors, and the inspectors in different ministries, and all the people who are working in the state. So that is my appeal as a good citizen of this state. Because if the president has put the increment for all, and the state brings these disparities, then that is discrimination and will bring inequality.
Bol Deng Bol, a civil society activist with the board-based advocacy group Interpret South Sudan, says it is wrong for senior officials to put their interest first.
I would like to call upon the government, our governor, Dinai Jok Chagor, and his deputy, Ambassador Antipas Nyongkucha. I know they are leaders in their own way. I'm calling on these two heads of the state, of Jonglei State, to at least try to raise the scale of civil servants beyond the current scale. This scale is just low. And even the scale that the government promised on the Independence Day, 100%, is completely way too low also. So I would urge, if I am to give my view, at least 400% or 500%.
Bol says state officials should increase the salaries of civil servants based on the cost of living. Gadwich Kok, a spokesperson for Governor Chagur, who is also the Jonglei Secretary General, told South Sudan in Focus today he is not ready to comment on the salary increases of top officials, but says he is aware of civil servant complaints. He says civil servant salaries were not increased because the amalgamation of the workforce from defunct states has not yet been completed. Kok referred this program to Jonglei Information Minister Berenica William Deng for any further comment. Deng says she could neither confirm nor deny the salary increases of the senior officials.
I'm not sure about that. I think it has not happened, but I will get back to you if I get the information about it.
The cut-strapped South Sudanese government has been struggling to pay its employees regularly as the country's dire economic situation worsens and inflation soars. 2 months ago, President Salva Kiir unveiled a plan to increase the salaries of civil servants by 100% and directed the Ministry of Finance and the Ministry of Petroleum to allocate 5,000 barrels of crude oil per day to pay civil servant salaries. 98% of South Sudan's economy is dependent on oil exports. In December 2015, South Sudan abandoned a fixed exchange rate and surrendered its currency, the South Sudanese pounds, to trade freely in the market against the US dollar and other foreign currencies in order to compete with the black market. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaiding in Bor.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, South Sudanese basketball team beat Kenya in the AfroBasket tournament. That story is lined up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how can you promote tourism within your country amongst your fellow citizens?
By sponsoring or organizing trips for schools and others, because there are some people who don't have money to go to such places.
Telling people about how our culture and history is, through that I can promote.
By having friendly activities available, like affordable costs of travel, food and accommodation.
Maybe by posting on the social media about the tourism activities happening in the country, as well as the places that people can visit. Places I know, such as some in Mangochi, maybe in Mulanje, by putting that on the social media.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. South Sudan's national basketball team beat Kenya in the AfroBasket tournament in the Rwandan capital, Kigali, on Tuesday to qualify for the quarterfinals. South Sudan's basketball coach says his team is growing stronger and is destined for victory. For VOA News, Mungume Devs Rwakarinj reports from Kampala.
For the second time in the AfroBasket tournament in Kigali, South Sudan defeated their opponents, winning by one basket. They defeated Kenya 60-58 on Tuesday. When South Sudan entered the tournament, they registered an off-court win against Cameroon after Cameroon was penalized for violating COVID-19 protocols. South Sudan went on to defeat Uganda 88-86 in their last Group D game in a hotly contested match witnessed by a dozen of South Sudanese fans in Kigali on Sunday. In his post-game press conference, South Sudan head coach Roy Ive praised his players for the winning spirit.
Kudos to my guys. They were resilient. We got a bunch of young guys. I think we're the youngest team in this tournament. So at the end of the day, we didn't put our heads down. We competed, and we pulled out the win, you know. And it's a growth mindset, because those guys are not happy in that room. They know they could have played better, and we advance. We live another day. So we got to keep our heads up and learn from the film and come back and get better.
South Sudan player Marengat Koth agrees.
But you know, we gotta keep our heads up. We're gonna come back better in the next game. So, you know, it's big for our country. This is the first time we ever done this, so we gotta keep building on this.
Kenya basketball coach Liz Mills plays the South Sudan team.
We put ourselves in a great position to win in those second, third, and fourth quarters, but you can't start a basketball game 10-0 and then fight back. There's a lot of talent on that South Sudanese team. They're really well coached.
South Sudanese fan Lick Deng Gordon came out to Kigali Arena to cheer on his team.
I love my homeland. I love myself. I love everything about basketball. And I was so happy and I was so excited about what happened last night. We made it. Though that was a tight game, you know, winning in 2 points, you know, is very difficult. And we were able to make it. I was so happy, and I'm so happy. Even I don't know. Even now, even I lost my voice. I don't know what to do. And we have another game tomorrow for Tunisia, whereby we are coming with more fire.
Lick says he will mobilize other South Sudanese to attend the game against Tunisia and support their countrymen. South Sudan earlier lost to title contender Senegal in the AfroBasket. AfroBasket is the men's basketball continental championship contested by the senior national teams in Africa. It is played every 4 years. During the 2015 edition, the tournament took place every 2 years. It also served as a qualifying tournament for the FIBA World Cup and the Summer Olympics. The inaugural event featured 5 participating teams, but has since grown together 16 best nations of the African continent since 2007. This is the first time South Sudan is playing on this stage. For VOA News, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
The International Committee of the Red Cross says more than 48,000 people are missing across Africa, and at least 21,600 are minors. Most of the registered disappearances, widely believed to be a fraction of the continent's wider undocumented humanitarian tragedy, are linked to armed conflict, violence, disasters, and migration across the continent. For VOA News, Muhammad Yusuf reports from Nairobi.
The International Committee of the Red Cross says more than 48,000 people are missing across Africa, and at least 21,600 are minors. Most of the registered disappearances widely believed to be a fraction of the continent's wider undocumented humanitarian tragedy are linked to armed conflict, violence, disasters, and migration across the continent. The International Committee of the Red Cross says the number of people coming forward to report missing persons is on the rise in Africa. Amaya Fernandez, the humanitarian organization's advisor on the missing and their families for Western Africa, says the cause of the increasing numbers is twofold.
On one hand, due to the fact that we are trying to register more and more systematically cases of missing persons throughout the region, but also certainly due to the significant increase of violence and conflict experienced in the continent, which increase at the same time the likelihood of people going missing. Looking at our figures, we can summarize that almost half of the missing persons that have been recorded are underage. Most of them, the majority, are men. And among the women that are searched by the families, we can see that the majority are minors.
The ICRC finding shows that 39,360 of the 48,000 missing people are from 7 countries with armed conflicts. According to the Stockholm International Peace and Research Institute, 20 countries in Africa have armed conflict. Out of the 20, 10 are witnessing high-intensity armed conflicts. Fernandez says the ongoing conflict in some African countries has created more pain and suffering for families of missing persons.
Humanitarian consequences, particularly caused by protracted armed conflicts, are often aggravated, and these is reflected in most of the interviews. For instance, half of the families that were interviewed in Nigeria reported that their relatives had gone missing in 2014-2015. In South Sudan, majority also of the families were looking for people that went missing between 2013 and 16. In Libya, families reported that they were looking for missing relatives since the late 70s until the present day. And the same goes for families in Ethiopia and Uganda.
Some experts see the need to train community workers and security agencies on the importance of information sharing to help locate missing persons. Zimbabwe's Assistant Police Commissioner, Crispin Lifa, says his country and the region need a data management system to follow up on the missing person cases.
There is need to have a database which should be continuously updated so that all missing persons and even those that are deceased, the information is captured in a database by police stations, and at the end of the day, that information has to be put in one place, and in this case, at the NCB, where maybe if we want to check across the country, the number of missing persons will quickly get that information from a central point.
Fauzia Hussein's brother went missing in June after a Kenyan court released him. The 39-year-old was accused of terrorism-related issues, but the court found him innocent and ordered the police to release him. His sister, Fauzia Hussein, says they never saw him again.
I know that they still have him because at every point my brother got a chance to make a phone call, he called my mother. So if he was released, why would he call my mom? So I know for a fact that they did not release him.
According to Hussein, police told her they released her brother. The ICRC calls on African governments to prevent disappearances and help with search and identification and addressing families' needs. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
That's all we prepared for you this Wednesday. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Come on, 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 come on
Sendori Riola Lagalop.